This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively. FedEx.
Airbnb.
It's wedding season.
Yes, it is. What's going on, baby?
Alex and I just got invited to a beautiful venue for the wedding of a childhood buddy of mine.
Lovely. Can't wait to hear about
it. We got babysitters. We're all set to go.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay, second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode is brought to you by Noom. Forget one size fits all diets. With Noom, you get a personalized weight loss plan that's tailored to your lifestyle. No food is off limits. Enjoy your favorites while discovering healthier habits. Noom's users love the flexible approach, blending psychology and biology to help you lose weight in a way that's sustainable for you. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Tuesday, T-Boy Tuesday, November 2nd.
This pod.
Yeah.
It's the best one yet.
It's the best one yet. Even though, Jack, I got a Hershey's hangover going on right now.
I had 3 Reese's Cups last night.
Jack, I got a Laffy Taffy tummy ache.
Snackers for our first story. Coca-Cola just made their biggest acquisition ever by acquiring Body Armor.
Sports drinks are Coke's sibling rivalry.
For our second story, you can now watch, get this, teenage professional basketball.
Yeah.
Thanks to Overtime Elite, an entirely new basketball.
Mom, can I stay up late to get paid $1 million to dribble and dunk, please?
For our third and final story, Shanghai Disneyland just had 1 positive COVID case and the entire theme park went into DEFCON 5.
This went from happiest place on earth to extremely alarming place with hazmat suits from one case.
But before we hit that wonderful mix, did you know, Nick, we have 171,476 words in the English language?
And yet language is like the universe. It never stops expanding.
And it's actually Merriam-Webster that gets to choose the 171,477th word.
Because Merriam-Webster's been writing dictionaries for a cool 190 years. Not too shabby.
Just call them the Supreme Court of Words.
Yeah, this is basically the Regina George of choosing verbs and nouns.
Here's the news.
Yeah.
Merriam-Webster just added 455 new words to the dictionary, class of 2021.
Snackers, time to update your vocab.
You may want to buy a vowel.
Yeah, you're going to want to buy 2. First new word, Jack, first new word that they're adding to Merriam-Webster's dictionary is dad bod.
I can't exactly define it, but I know it when I see it, and I see it every morning.
We're synonym for dad bod, mirror. It's a mirror. That's what it is.
Faux hawk is another one they add.
Yeah, it's when you're too scared to actually shave for the real mohawk, you go with the faux hawk. We've seen this, you've done this, we've all been a part of it.
Okay, the dictionary added doorbell camera this year.
Awkward. What are your thoughts on that one?
Feels like the PR team at Amazon lobbied for that one.
Yeah, and let's just say they won. Amazon wins on that one.
Wall Street got their foot in the door and got SPAC into the dictionary this year.
SPACs are now in the dictionary because most SPACs can't even explain what they are. So the dictionary is defining them for themselves.
This last one, I feel like we should consult counsel.
This one's concerning.
Fluffernutter?
Fluffernutter. You've had it. It's the marshmallow cream with the peanut butter in a sandwich. It's legitimate.
Isn't that a trademarked word from like Kraft Heinz?
This feels like a Kleenex kind of a situation. On the other hand,
yeah,
it's so delicious it deserves proper noun status.
Now, what's still not a word, according to the dictator of diction?
T-boy is not a word.
Neither is podfather.
Neither is zuckin.
Neither is schmovies.
None of our fake words have become real words.
We're going to try again next year.
I think we meant like 2 new words in every episode of this podcast. It's like a whole lexicon.
We're going to poke Merriam-Webster. Now, snackers, for T-Boy Tuesday, What is not in the dictionary, but definitely should be?
Who did the dictionary miss this year out of the 450 new words?
What fake word deserves official real word status?
Tweet us at Robin Hood Snacks, at Nick of New York, at Jack Kramer. Jack?
Let's hit our 3 stars.
Let's hit our 3 dad pods.
You're tuned into Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC.
For our first story, Coca-Cola just acquired Body Armor, the sports drink, for its biggest acquisition ever, like in the history of Coke.
How do you take down the family rival?
Tell us, Jack.
By pitting the two siblings against each other.
What is this, like episode 6 of Squid Games or every episode of Game of Thrones?
I can't decide if this is Godfather or Game of Thrones.
Either way, this feels mean, it feels dirty. And Coca-Cola, they already owned 15% of Body Armor. So they already kind of knew what they were getting into.
But now they like it so much, they're spending $5.6 billion for the other 85%.
Ipso facto, this is the biggest brand ever acquired in Coca-Cola's like century-old history. And it values Body Armor. How much money, Jack?
$8 billion.
There we go. That's like half a lift, Body Armor.
Now, Kobe Bryant famously invested in Body Armor way back in 2013.
Yeah, and now, you know, good for his family. They're now getting a payout of $400 million because of this biggest acquisition in Coca-Cola history.
Great news. But Body Armor is Gatorade. If Gatorade went to a wellness retreat in Malibu.
Body Armor is like a drink that juice cleansed itself.
Body Armor has potassium, yes, electrolytes, and antioxidants.
There you go, the stuff you sweat out.
It doesn't have any artificial colors or sweeteners they like to bring.
But there are lots of natural sweeteners, sugars that managed to just sneak their way in there. Jack, can I interest you in the Berry Blitz or would you like the alkaline censored flavor?
I just prefer labeling them by colors. Does it come in orange?
If you're referring to organic mango, then it comes in organic mango.
Sales of Body Armor, the sports drink, have taken off. Back in 2018, when Coke first invested, they were selling $250 million of product per year.
Guess what? They're now doing 6 times that amount.
$1.4 billion. And that's why Coca-Cola stock rose 2% on news of this acquisition.
But here's what Jack and I find fascinating about the sports drink market. It's pretty unique. This isn't like a monopoly or a duopoly situation.
It's the rare threeopoly because three brands own 95% of the whole sports drink market.
I mean, I don't want to call up Merriam-Webster, Jack, but are we going with threeopoly or thryopoly?
I'm going with threeopoly.
Let's go with threeopoly.
Now, if you're sweating, snackers, and you grab a drink from like the cooler, there's a 95% chance it's a Gatorade, a Powerade, or a Body Armor.
That's because Gatorade, Powerade, and Body Armor control 95%. Get this, 95% of the sports drink market.
But among those three, it's very clear who the king is.
There is one king among the kings.
It's Gatorade.
Gatorade, owned by Pepsi, and they own 64% of the sports drink market. Must be nice.
When you win a championship, you're not dumping a jug of filtered water on Coach.
John, grab the LaCroix. 3 seconds left in the game. We're going to win this thing.
That's why they call it Gatorade.
You're going to dunk the yellow Gatorade all over Coach. Gatorade has earned that brand positioning.
But last year, within this sports drink market, Body Armor beat out Powerade for the number 2 spot for the first time.
It came out of nowhere. Now, Body Armor has 18% of the remaining market, and Powerade only has 13% of the remaining market.
And get this, Coca-Cola owns both Body Armor and it already owned Powerade.
So what we're trying to say is Coca-Cola owns Body Armor's biggest competitor, which is Powerade, and now it owns Body Armor too.
If you're working at Powerade, this is awkward news.
This is very weird. When Coke said in its PR announcement that Body Armor is the number 2 sports drink, it did so with disappointment.
It did so with judgment.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our judging buddies over at Coca-Cola?
Coke is using a sibling rivalry to beat out the family arch rival.
Snackers, here's how we're seeing this. Coca-Cola invested in Body Armor 3 years ago. But since then, we think Coke's basically been doing a family experiment, a freaky one.
It pitted the 10-year-old Body Armor against their 33-year-old Powerade in a classic sibling battle.
Yeah, because old school Powerade is the perennial backup. It's what you get post-workout if the Gatorade is unavailable. And frankly, the water fountain isn't working.
Meanwhile, hotshot Body Armor, they're the freshmen that made varsity and linked eternally to the mythical Kobe Bryant.
One's more naturally stuff and one is neon-flavored Powerade stuff.
Under Coca-Cola's parenting, Body Armor is now beating out the sibling Powerade.
Coke pitted the siblings against each other for 3 years to test who would be stronger, which brand.
Now it seems it's going to invest in the stronger one, Body Armor, to take on the real rival, Gatorade.
Sibling rivalries to beat family rivals. For our second story, this one's wild. A new men's basketball league just launched to rival the NCAA and NBA.
Boys basketball league, Nick. These are high school teens, and they're getting paid 6 or 7 digits by a new league called Overtime Elite.
Okay, Jack, we should put out like an announcement for all the snackers out there. If you're 6'9", you can dunk, you can dribble, you can pass, and you've broken someone's ankle like the old-fashioned way on the hardwood, the NBA is how you get rich and famous.
Sadly, though, today, you got to wait till you're 19 to get rich and famous because it's not really possible to make money playing basketball until you're 19.
Jack, you got the one-and-done rule. The one-and-done rule.
Every stud basketball player goes to Kentucky or goes to Duke for 1 year and then goes pro in the NBA draft.
But now, snackers, there's a new option here. You can now go pro 3 years earlier with a startup called Overtime Elite.
This is a pro basketball league for kids.
Yeah.
16 to 18. These kids can dunk, though.
One day they're hanging out at Chuck E. Cheese. The next day they're literally in Overtime Elite's league.
You do not want to post up against these kids.
Yeah, because Overtime Elite will pay teenage Tommy to quit his high school and play in their brand new professional league, again, for teens.
This is a pay-to-play league, which means Tommy will lose his NCAA eligibility, but Overtime Elite only picks players that are definitely going pro anyway, like LeBron.
Now, 16-year-old Tommy with the 36-inch vertical jump is thinking, you know what? Should I go to Duke? Should I go to Kentucky? Or should I go to Overtime Elite?
Okay, opening weekend just happened.
It did, Jack. You got the scoreboard over there?
No. But I do know that Overtime Elite has already persuaded 27 elite teenage basketball players to ditch their high school and kick off this 37-game inaugural season.
They even got some like absurdly large stadium in Atlanta, Georgia, where they're all based and they're playing all these games.
That's right. It's kind of like boarding school because the kids live there too. And when they're not playing basketball,
this is the wild thing.
They're doing homework.
Yeah, three certainties in life, snackers. Death, taxes, and take-home exams.
The classes, though, they're not like science and Brit Lit.
Yeah, my $5,000 cockapoo I bought with my signing bonus ate my homework.
It's the stuff that you need as a young basketball player.
Financial literacy and mental health classes.
And social media and the business of basketball.
At the end of it, they're going to get a high school diploma because guess what? One sec, Jack. I'll do the Alley-Oop 101 and maybe, I don't know, a semester of the art of the crossover.
But key here is they're also getting paid at least $100,000 per year.
Yeah, they are.
Up to $1 million per year if they're really good.
All before hopefully hitting the NBA stage at the age of 19.
So OTE, Overtime Elite, it's basically like an early stage venture capital firm but for sports talent.
This is the Andreessen of the court. Basically, they find promising point guards, they invest in their growth, and then the NBA draft is basically the IPO. That's the exit.
And the investors in OTE,
yeah,
they know talent, they know business, they know basketball.
We got Jeff Bezos invested in Overtime Elite.
So did Kevin Durant.
And so did Drake. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Overtime Elite?
If you got an audience, you don't need anything else.
Snackers, that is why audience companies are breaking big media institutions these days.
ESPN and the NBA, they control what sports we watch because they've always had the audience.
Forever. It's the big money power brokers of sports that show us who we root for.
Overtime, though, doesn't need them to build their audience because they already built their own audience.
Yes. Overtime social media accounts, they show highlights and they've already built up 50 million followers and 1 billion views a month.
Half of Overtime's employees are there just to film epic videos for Instagram and TikTok of the players themselves.
This is just like YouTuber Logan Paul leveraging his huge audience to get a boxing match with boxer Floyd Mayweather.
Or how FaZe Clan's esports teams,
which we talked about last week,
use their audience to go public on stock markets at a $1 billion valuation.
Because Overtime Elite built an audience, it doesn't need anybody else. For our third and final story, Shanghai Disneyland has a COVID crisis because of one single COVID case over the weekend.
China has a zero tolerance policy, which is different than the rest of the world.
First of all, Jack, when you show up at Disney World, what's the first ride you go to?
What's it called? Rocky Mountain Thunder Railroad.
Yeah, because it's a little bit nostalgic.
Yeah, Thunder Mountain.
The one with the line. So on Saturday, Snackers, a woman walks into Shanghai Disneyland, does the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, does the Fantasia carousel, and probably ate a giant turkey leg.
The next day, she tested positive for COVID-19.
And then what happened that day, Jack?
Disney Shanghai staff took off their Mickey Mouse gloves and put on Ursula tentacles.
Yeah, the happiest place on Earth became an extremely alarming place with hazmat suits.
They locked that place down. With all 34,000 visitors inside, they locked the doors and made each and every one of them get tested before they could leave.
The staff was like trying to keep people entertained, like, it's a small world after all.
There were flocks of workers in hazmat suits right next to like Cinderella.
Let's sing it one more time together, everybody.
Now, they finally got all 34,000 people tested and let them leave. And all 34,000 people there tested negative, which is impressive.
Okay, Snackers, let this sink in. 34,000 human beings in one theme park all tested negative on the same day.
And this was triggered because one person tested positive the day after being at Shanghai Disneyland.
Yet all were ordered to self-isolate for another 24 hours before a second test would happen.
And that wasn't it. Shanghai Disneyland is keeping their park shut until Wednesday. Again, because of that one positive case on Saturday.
So we know what you're thinking, Snackers. Why is it so easy to take control of Disney's theme park in China?
Because it's actually not Disney's theme park in China.
It's not Disney's theme park after all.
Snackers, China has the biggest consumer market on Earth. 1.4 billion people who spend money on stuff.
And it gives U.S. companies access to it on one big condition.
You must partner with a Chinese company, which gets to own at least half of the business here.
So this is wild. But Disney as in the Disney and Disney World, is the minority owner of Shanghai Disneyland. They own less than half.
Shanghai Shendi is the name of the company that owns 57% of Shanghai Disneyland.
That's a state-backed company of China that owns a majority of Disney's Disneyland in Shanghai.
So here's the deal. If you want to ride Space Mountain in Orlando, Florida, you need to be this tall.
And if you want to open an American theme park in China, you must give up this much of your company in order to do so.
A lot of the company.
We're making a big sign with our hands. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies in all of the world's economies?
China is the last country with a zero tolerance policy when it comes to COVID, and it is costing them their economy.
Snackers, China is one of the most vaccinated populations on Earth. We're talking 1.5 billion people, 80% of them. 80% are vaccinated.
And it's working really well.
Yeah. You want the numbers, Jack?
On Saturday, they had 48 positive tests. Not 48,000, 48.
How many did we have in the United States, Jack, on Saturday?
30,000.
Yeah, that's a lot different.
And our population is way smaller.
But here's the thing, Snackers. China has a zero tolerance policy when it comes to COVID.
That's why one positive case caused a total freakout at Shanghai Disneyland.
It's why you get neighborhood lockdowns, location tracking, week-long quarantines when there's just one or two cases.
The stuff you remember from the beginning, China's still doing it today.
New Zealand was the other major zero COVID country, just like China, similar policy.
But last month, New Zealand reversed. They said they have to tolerate this persistent virus and not let it destroy them.
And the rest of the world is coming around to this uncomfortable reality too, that COVID probably won't totally go away.
Like the flu, we'll have it every year. The pandemic will become endemic.
Yeah, not as intense, but not totally disappeared either.
China's zero tolerance policy, though, that's an outlier, and it seems to be hurting their economy.
China just reported some of their weakest GDP growth in decades.
Zero COVID, also zero some parts of the economy.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us over there?
Coca-Cola now owns both Powerade and Body Armor.
Yeah, it's pitting two siblings against each other to take down the family arch rival.
Overtime Elite is the NBA, but for teens.
The league has their own audience, so they don't need anybody else.
For our third and final story, Shanghai Disney went into DEFCON 5 because one woman tested positive.
That's China's zero tolerance policy, and it's hurting parts of their economy too. Now, time for our snack fact of the day. This one tweeted in by Snack Factor, and that's the name of this person because we don't know their real name. Snack Factor only sends us snack facts on Twitter from St. Petersburg, Florida. We love Snack Factor.
The national animal of Scotland.
Yeah.
It's not a deer.
No.
It's not a bird.
Uh-uh.
It's not a plane.
No, it's not a plate of haggis either. It is the national animal of Scotland is the unicorn.
According to Scotland's website, unicorns are proud, untamable creatures that are fiercely independent and famously difficult to capture or conquer.
Scotland, they do tartan, they do whiskey, and they do unicorns.
Once a Scot, always a Scott.
Snackers, you look fantastic. If you got a word that we should be adding to the dictionary, we kind of want to give Merriam-Webster a heads up.
At Robin Hood Snacks, at Nick of New York, at Jack Kramer, hit us up.
And yes, mattress, mattress, mattress counts as one word.
Nick and I will see you tomorrow.
If you know, you know. Also one word. But before we go, congratulations to Snackers Sarah and Josh from lovely Vancouver who just got engaged.
And congratulations to Pablo and Sammy from Quito, Ecuador, who also just got engaged in New York City.
And Preeti just passed the civil engineering exam down in New Jersey.
Jen Tung just got her keys to her first apartment in British Columbia. Big congrats.
And happy birthday, Sam Hika down in Atlanta.
And Khalifa in Abu Dhabi.
And Muhammad John Gear in Petaluma, California.
Happy belated birthday to Mia Lee Blappin in Cohasset by the Sea.
Mia, the original Middlebury Panther.
Excuse me, do you have a booth? Oh, stupid. That This is Jack, Iron Stock of Amazon.
Robin Hood Snacks, newsletters, and podcasts reflect the opinions of only the authors who are associated persons of Robin Hood Financial LLC and do not reflect the views of Robin Hood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. They are meant for informational purposes only and are not a recommendation to buy or sell any security, cryptocurrency, or investment strategy in any account. This is not an offer or sale of a security, not a research report, and is not intended to serve on the basis for any investment decision. Any third-party information provided therein does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets, Inc., Robinhood Financial, LLC, or any of their subsidiaries or affiliates. All investments involve risk, including loss of principal and past performance, does not guarantee future results. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Hit us up!
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.